Just a disclaimer, we are not doctors, we are not medical professionals, we are just two girls who have survived sepsis that are navigating their recovery.
If there is anything that you are seriously struggling with, we urge you to contact a GP. And if you think that you might have sepsis, you should seek immediate medical care, as sepsis is life-threatening and time-critical.
We just wanted to pop a little trigger warning in as well that this podcast may contain content that listeners find distressing.
Please listen with care and always remember to be kind to yourselves where possible.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Surviving and Thriving podcast. Yet again, we've had a little tiny break for a few weeks whilst our schedules have been getting aligned. In the last two episodes, we've been speaking about the cognitive and emotional effects of post-sepsis syndrome. And today, as kind of like the last episode of this mini series, we're going to be talking about the physical symptoms. And guys, you better buckle in because if there's experts on this topic, me and Olivia have got
It's
it
us.
sorted.
It's
Yeah,
us.
it's us. And like I said in the other two episodes, obviously we can comment and speak about the emotional and cognitive, but I feel like the physical symptoms for us is what we felt has affected us the most. And at our age, it's also like, for me, it's the biggest like
The
battle
most,
and boundary.
one of the most debilitating, for sure.
Yeah.
And challenging because I don't know about you, but I always feel like if I'm trying to, like, obviously, your mental health after something traumatic like that is always being worked on. I always find that when I'm in physical pain, it makes it worse because I'm like, it's a constant reminder for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's such a, I think it's a trigger actually, because it's like where it stemmed from, and you'll know that as well, right?
Yeah.
Think that like when something's when it's painful that way, it just makes you think, oh my God, am I going to be unwell again?
And I think that like mental health and physical health have such a strong link that people like, I don't think it's spoken about enough, because even like obviously if you haven't been through like illness, chronic illness, but you know that like if you're having a low day, you feel like your body feels different to if you're having a really positive day and you're happy and you're not like worried about anything. And they link so closely together. And I think, especially in our case, it works both ways. If I'm having a low day or a stressful day or an anxious day, I can really feel it. I carry a lot of my emotion physically.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there not like a really big link towards as well, like trauma being stored in your body?
Yeah, because in yoga, you can like do a hip opener and it's meant to like release trauma or something like that. So they say.
Because you might sometimes us like sometimes I'll feel myself like clenching my shoulders, and then
Yeah.
I'll be like, right, relax. Because you're like, that's trauma being stored in your body and your body not being able to relax properly, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's like for everyone, that's probably one of the most common physical links that you have. Like everyone will be able to relate with, like, I don't know, say you've got like a stressful meeting coming up or something big coming up. After it's finished, straight away, you can
Yeah.
feel that relax.
It's like letting loose, isn't it? Like this whole like you can just like you soften up.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like I said, to structure this podcast is this episode is probably going to be slightly all over the place for us, because I bet that we'll just kind of word vomit it all out because there's a lot that we want to say, and obviously this is the place to do that. But
Yeah.
bear
No, I
with
need your
us.
brains.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we can start with kind of explaining, obviously on the podcast you guys have all listened to, well, I say you have all listened to it, you might not have, this is the first episode, hi. But mine and Olivia's story, obviously our sepsis originated from different infections, but we both suffered a lot with an infection in our hip joints, and we were just speaking before we started recording. My infections were held predominantly in my right hip joint and then my left SC joint, so like the collarbone. And that was like my main physical symptoms, especially heading into hospital. And then, Olivia, if you want to explain yours as well.
My initial symptom was my hip pain, which we speak about us all the time, right? We message each other. Like I messaged Taz last week, like, Do you actually have any idea why we're still in so much pain?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be nice to get an answer from somebody
Yeah. And
as
it's.
to why. And I wish we asked Ron when he was here.
I know, we should have.
Like, I wonder if he would be able to tell us. We could message him and ask so we can, like, tell people listening maybe that, like, what we found out. But, like, so my initial pain was in my hip. Yeah, that was my first symptom. And I still don't really get that. Like, do you get that?
And well, I've spoken to a lot of people about it, and especially for strep A, which is the infection that I had, for some reason there's a really high correlation with strep A and hip joint infection. Like that, it's just a
That's crazy.
weird correlation, yeah. But
Yeah.
also at the same time, I've been told a lot, and I know that Ron spoke about it on the podcast, is that an infection obviously usually goes to the weakest place first. And in my case, they have this theory. They never know exactly how my sepsis developed fully, but they have a theory that I might have like had a small tear in my hip flexor and the infection targeted that weak spot in my body.
But why does it go there? Like, I don't get that.
Well, I mean,
And
I've.
I thought the infection was strep
Yeah, well, the infection is strep A.
A. So you've got
Starts.
what? You've got strep A in your hip.
Yeah, the bug.
Really? So
Yeah.
I had pneumonia in my hip.
Well, I don't know whether
I
with
don't
pneumonia,
get.
because pneumonia, I don't know, like
Your
if
lung,
that's,
right? That's a
yeah, I
lung.
don't know if that's like the original, like if that's the name of the actual bacteria infection or whether that's the name of an infection. Do you know
Oh,
what I
hang on.
mean?
Because I was told I had, give me a second. This is what my family were told I have. Was told I had.
And
Sorry.
just for the listeners, whilst Liv's having a look for that, obviously, for both of us, that, yeah, I don't even know how to say that.
Is that what you had?
No, because mine's streptococcus. Oh my God, I'm not even about to say it now. Streptococcus, that's the name of it. But that's a staph infection.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Yeah, which will that will be the infection that went to your hip.
Right.
But then
I didn't.
obviously you would have then developed pneumonia from the sepsis.
Oh, I thought you.
Pneumonia is an infection, but do you know what I mean? So pneumonia, I'm assuming is, oh, actually, I don't want to say this wrong.
Frequently found in the upper respiratory tract and on the skin.
Yeah, so
So
that.
I got sepsis from that.
Yeah. That's your original infection, I'm
Brilliant.
assuming.
I wish I could speak to somebody and for them to, like,
Break it down.
yeah, just so I could, like, I feel like it would do me the world of good to just know, and I don't know why. I just want to know.
Well, I think it's normal for anyone. And I was just going to say before you found that, especially if you've been in intensive care, a lot of the time you actually don't, until your discharge notes, you don't actually find out everything that happened. It's not
Have you got your
often.
discharge?
I've got my discharge notes, yeah, somewhere.
Have you got your, like, have you, did you ever get your notes back?
Not my full hospital notes. I never
Please, can I
got
go and get mine
those.
and show you them quick?
Yeah, go.
I'll show you in a second. But this says, I think it's Staphylococcus,
That sounds about right.
is a type of bacteria that can cause sepsis, a life-threatening infection of the bloodstream.
Yeah, so that's the infection.
And it says, when Staph bacteria enters the bloodstream from a
Staph.
skin infection or other wound, which I had no wound, so that's what I mean. It just feels really, really weird. Like, the whole thing's just weird.
Yeah. And, obviously, with those discharge notes, most of the time people are sent home with their little piece of paper that says, like, what they were unwell with, and no exclamation? That's the wrong word. Explanation. Oh my God. And I'm working with my hospital, the JR, which I've spoken about a lot, and we're trying to set up a service where every single person who has sepsis on their discharge notes has a meeting with a sepsis nurse after discharge. That's what we're trying to set up because I was kind of speaking to them, and I think that that'll help bridge the gap between admission and discharge because I felt there was this massive, well, I mean, there was no A and B, it was just I was in hospital and then it was like, see ya. Because lots of the help that I've received, I've sought out myself. If I wouldn't have done any extra work, I would have literally had one meeting leaving hospital.
I think it's terrible.
Yeah, and
Like,
NHS
I
physio.
think, yeah, and I think that I know that the NA, I know that they're stretched, right? But I just think, and like, no one will get it unless they've been through it. But like, that is like so life altering to go through something like that, especially like at any age, but like especially in like younger years where you like don't, not that you would expect it in a later age, but like if you're older and your immune system's a bit weaker and like, do you know what I mean? Like you might have other health conditions. These things are like more like you, not that you expect them, but do you know what I'm trying to say? Like
Yeah, I
it's
think
more
that
common, but like when
especially,
you're young and
yeah.
you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And I just think like it feels like you said, you leave hospital, you have one appointment and that's it, bye.
Yeah,
Like you don't
it's
have any follow-up on your mental health or how you're doing. You don't get the chance to like debrief with anybody. Do you know? And I just feel like
yeah.
why we ever get like why isn't there like they like meetings? I even said to the lady, like, why aren't there groups to support people that have been through this? They could have volunteers, I'd do it, I'd run the group.
Yeah. And well, again, I think that, we always say this that we're so grateful for the NHS and the work they did, but there is definitely big gaps, especially with kind of funding and support for sepsis survivors. And I think that's kind of, we can see that firsthand. And I guess that what you were trying to say as well, that with PSS, lots of the symptoms that PSS comes with. Also, these symptoms, you can just have them as you age. So I think perhaps for an older person, it's not expected, like you said, but you're maybe more prepared, more like ready for that those kind of symptoms. Whereas as a younger person that's experiencing them, it feels so alien and so like frustrating
Yeah.
because you see everyone else your age not going through the same thing. And
Yeah,
again, that's
again,
not,
why me?
yeah, and that's not us trying to, what's the word? Like anyone that's
We're not
listening
wishing
to this
anyone else to
that's
be, yeah.
older and has been through this, and you're like, oh, well, it's not valid for us because, like, that's not what we're trying to say. In our experience, and from speaking to other sepsis survivors that are of the younger generation, that is one of like the biggest like links between the physical and mental health is those physical symptoms that you just don't expect to experience at this age.
Exactly. And like I think it would just be so much easier to have some kind of clarity on it so that we can just like I just think knowing would be so nice,
Yeah.
just to like to get that and to know that. I'm just looking for my like I've just found my this is my not discharge summary obviously, but like this is the notes that I got back from my stay. Let me get them quick.
Yeah, whilst Olivia's going to get that, I've just Googled post-sepsis syndrome physical symptoms, and we can just kind of have a little talk over them and debrief them. Common physical symptoms of post-sepsis syndrome: fatigue and weakness, which we have spoken about, kind of in the cognitive episode, but we can touch on that again because I've actually had a visit to the GP in the last week because of the fatigue and just trying to get to the bottom of it. Joint pain, which, as we're saying, still 2 and a bit years later, is like my most frustrating symptom. And obviously, I'm assuming that's with septic arthritis, that's elevated as well. Breathing difficulties, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing. I can touch on that one as well, especially with such a physical job. I've definitely experienced that. Swelling in limbs, I haven't, well, this is saying fluid retention in the limbs. I actually haven't had much of that, but I have heard and spoken to people who have found that really difficult. Sleep disturbances, which we've gone into at length before, but that is obviously a big part of PSS, especially now also, but especially kind of straight after discharge. Hair and skin changes, hair loss, brittle nails, dry and itchy skin, which I think we've touched on a little bit before, but maybe we can dive into it today because that was something that affected both of us. And Olivia is very knowledgeable about hair care and all that fun stuff.
I try.
And then a few more increased infection risk, which we all, I hope, after if you've listened to lots of these episodes, that you'll know that after having sepsis, you're more prone to like reoccurrent infections, and doesn't have to be the same infection, can be different ones. Your immune system is slightly weakened post sepsis. Organ dysfunction, reduced function of organs, that's obviously more a symptom of how much damage the sepsis has done to your body as opposed to them shutting down after an admission. And then changes in taste or appetite, which I've heard a few people say. I don't think I, apart from like
That.
obviously straight after coming out of hospital, but whether that was just because live, laugh, love the NHS, whether that was just because the food was
That
not
is.
the tastiest. So when I got home, I was like, oh my God, this all tastes so good. Or whether that was because of sepsis, I'm not quite sure, but that's what comes up when you Google post physical se symptoms of post sepsis syndrome. So let's come back to that, but Liv, just talk us through, whoa, for I say for the audio listeners, no one's watching us talking, but Liv has got a huge fat wad of hospital notes.
There's like got to be 200 pages.
Yeah, if not more. It's like, you know, when you go and buy an A4, like a sheet of A4, and it comes in
Or a
that
sack of
massive
paper.
wad. Yeah, that's basically the size for.
It's so weird because obviously, like,
Have you read through the whole thing? Wow.
maybe when I'll message you like some bits. And I've worked in a hospital before, so like consultant's handwriting is diabolical and you can barely read anything.
Yeah.
But there are some parts, like I know we're not going to go like right into this because I know that it's not very fun for other people, but like I can read some of it that's like basically says, oh, see, this says, I spoke to Olivia today alongside her boyfriend following her admission for 11 days with MSSA bacterium and sacroiliac septic joint.
Yeah, which is like doctor talk. I know that second one. I think that's basically doctor talk for septic arthritis. The first one, I'm not even going to try and explain.
Yeah, you know when you're just like, sorry, what? But then like, so you know when you went into hospital, yeah?
Yeah.
At what point did they say like sepsis? Because when I spoke to somebody about this, I was told that if your family are like, if they suspect that you've got sepsis, like your family have to be told straight away.
Yeah, I think that obviously when I first came into hospital,
You
basically
have
my
one of
family
these.
weren't. No.
Discharge, a transfer summary. You don't have one. You would have one if you got your.
If I asked for it, probably.
Yeah, if you ask for it, yeah.
When I first went into hospital, my parents weren't told much at all. That's because obviously people were busy working around me. When I went up into intensive care, I think they told my parents that it was suspected sepsis. And then obviously, once the blood cultures came back, they then said confirmed sepsis. But
Yeah.
even then, it wasn't explained. They just said, Taz has sepsis and she's really unwell, and we're going to try and do everything we can for her, but she is really unwell. Which again, for like an explanation, when you're telling someone that their daughter is so unwell that they're doing everything they can, but they can't promise anything, to not give any explanation is wild to me. But obviously, at the same time, I can't even imagine what it's like for that to be your working environment 24/7, and it obviously just becomes so natural to them that they just get used to not having to explain these things.
Yeah, like I'm trying to find on my on one of them because this is from the fifth. Oh no, sorry, that's my birthday. This is the fourth of oh this. So this must have been when this is 4 o'clock in the morning. So this is obviously when intensive care were called. But this doesn't even say like it doesn't even say on it. Like one of the forms from A&E says sepsis question mark. But like. Before that makes me like wonder, like if someone's written sepsis question mark, why wasn't I like, because that was 2 days before I ended up in intensive care. So I always just think, why wasn't anything done so that that didn't have to happen?
I mean,
Like, why was nothing done quicker so that that didn't have to happen to me? But cool, thank you guys. I'm sure it's all character building and everything. So, do you want to go through? Should we start with like one of the symptoms of, and then we'll just like go through them as a
Yeah,
list
of course.
from one.
So fatigue and weakness was the first one, and like I said before, I actually went to my GP last week or the week before about my fatigue because I think I've had like a really busy period recently, and I'd kind of put it down to that. And I've always, since being unwell, I've always felt tired, but I hadn't, like, it hadn't really got to me, and I'd kind of just been pushing through until recently. I was like, it is not normal. Every Saturday is like one of my only days off in the week. Every Saturday, I am like conked out. Like,
Yeah.
I'm on the
You're tired.
sofa, falling asleep. And
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not normal for someone. Like, obviously, I'm able, like, if I had plans, I'd be able to go out. And I think that's a deceiving thing when you have, or you feel like you have fatigue, is that, like, also, I think I've just learned to, like, mask it and just get on with stuff. But it's really hard to explain. Like, when it's a different feeling to just feeling tired. I
Yeah.
don't really know
Oh,
how to explain it. I don't know if you've
no,
got any better words.
not really. Apart from like, I was just going to say that, like, I find the fatigue like it's quite depressing, really, because it's just this like constant,
Constant.
and it's like I always just tried to like, because nobody else understands. You just, I'm just so tired. It's not tired.
Yeah.
It's tired. It's like tired on steroids. It's like constant, like exhaustion is a good word.
Yeah, it's so strange. And then sometimes I feel guilt, like I feel guilty, and that's the word, like the flipping like sponsor word of this podcast, but I feel guilty for feeling fatigued because I'm like surrounded obviously that by people that, if they've done a longer day than me or done more stuff, and then I'm there thinking, oh my God, I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted.
I think it's a miracle that we both work full time. And like with no, like I tried to speak to my work about this and they don't really have a lot to say about it. But like I have absolutely no what's the word? This happens to me all the time as well, just forget words. Hang on.
It's coming to her, guys.
What's the word? Like not
Protocol?
exceptions, but like no, you know, like I'm like, I can't think of the word. This happened. This is my life. Like, what's the word? I'll think about it and then like I'll come back.
Come
But like,
back.
basically, you're not asking for any adjustments, is the word. You're not asking for any adjustments for the fact that like, do you know? Like you've been through a lot. This has happened to you. Like really, you probably should be working shorter hours or should be on same shifts, because I work shifts as well. So like my shifts are like I'll do an early, late, middle, early, late, middle, like they're all over the place. Whereas I probably really need a routine.
And I think that especially like with the fatigue and stuff, the further post discharge you get, like for me, the more I feel like I can't speak about it to people because it's like, oh boy, who
Oh,
cried wolf.
talking
It's not
about.
that because I know it's not, but that's how it feels to me. I'm like, oh, if someone says, oh, how are you feeling? Like, I can't just say tired, like because, same stuff, different day kind of thing. And
Yeah.
I went to the GP anyway, long story short, I don't want to drag this episode out too long. And I had a blood test and my iron levels were like a tiny bit low, but nothing that like should have meant that I was feeling this tired all the time. And the GP suggested that perhaps I go on an antidepressant, which I'm not even going to get into it in detail because it frustrates me a lot.
Yeah.
But personally, it's a personal decision. Personally, I don't want to take any medication for my mental health. It's just not me. And like, I know it helps some people massively, but also I don't think that's the root of the problem. And
I'm the same.
straight away, as soon as the blood test came back, that was the immediate response was that, oh, well, when you're feeling a bit down, which obviously she asked if I was feeling down, and I wasn't gonna lie to her and say, no, like I'm great. Love feeling like this. The immediate response was, oh, sometimes when you feel a bit depressed, like that can make you feel fatigued. And I was like, no, I don't think you're listening to me. And then, to be honest, like frustration station, I just was like, thanks very much for your time, left. And then, like, that's it. Like, that's the help I've got. And that was the answer that we came to, which is frustrating. But also at the same time, you know, it is what it is, and that is life, and we just have to get on with it.
Yeah, but I think that, like you said, that's just like lack of resources for people that have been through something like that.
Yeah, and it's really funny. I don't know how you feel about it, but like I feel so guilty. Like I say, I've been to the GP twice in 2 years since I've been out of hospital. And every time I book an appointment, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to waste your time. Like, I know you guys are so, like, that immediately I just always am on, like, the back foot and I'm
Yeah,
like, I'm
which is
really
crazy
sorry.
because
I don't mean to take up your time.
I think if anyone's phoning, it should be you.
Yeah, well.
Because I do think that. But to be honest, I just think because Callum says to me, "Why didn't you ring?" And I'm like, "They don't help." I don't know about you. I just think they're so unhelpful.
Yeah.
They just don't know what to say or what to do. And sometimes you just need like a bit of reassurance, and they can't even do that.
Yeah, it's true.
But the fatigue is. I have to remind myself a lot, like you're not just being lazy and you do just deserve to just sit down and blah blah blah. But like it is so hard and
Also, it's annoying. Like, it's not even just like allowing ourselves to do it. Like, I don't want to do it. That's not in my, like, I'm not that person that wants to sit down, like, and chill. I want to be doing stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? That's what I find frustrating.
I'm the same.
Let's just touch on a few others, she says. Misplaced my phone. Here it is. Joint pain. Obviously, we've kind of touched on that already in that
You have no idea what's going on.
we're both still suffering. I will keep you guys updated as and when I'm heading back to see my old consultants to see, especially with my job. It's really affecting me and there's only so much because originally the kind of plan was it's lasting inflammation, like lasting serious inflammation from a serious infection, it will go down. We're now 2.5 years in. I'm like, if inflammation doesn't go down in 2.5 years, I'm confused.
Well, I got told that it will never go away.
Oh, well, slay.
And I was told by my consultant that basically you'll just like learn to live with the pain basically and manage it when you need to.
Wow, that's so fun.
Woo! I love not being
Because,
disabled when I'm so young.
yeah, at the moment, I am basically living on pain relief. Cool. Moving on. So I'm just having a little look. Let's do the last one in hair and skin changes. I feel like that's a good one to touch on, and then we'll wrap up the episode.
Okay.
But so hair and skin changes is a really interesting one.
Humbling.
Yeah, it's humbling for sure. After sepsis, it is, and to be honest, any intensive care admission, it's also quite common for serious hair loss. This usually occurs, especially post sepsis, like 2 to 3 months after coming out of hospital or after an infection, said infection. And I don't know. I've always thought before I was poorly, I was always like, if I lost, like, if I had to, I don't know, like, I don't know, if I was really poorly and I had to have, like, lose my hair, it's just hair, it grows back. That's kind of the thing. That's quite, it's quite a big common thing to be like, oh, you know, it's just hair, it grows back. I
No.
didn't realize how much of my, like, identity and
Yeah.
confidence I held.
It's so traumatic.
It.
And I hate when people say it's just hair.
Yeah.
It is just hair,
Yeah.
but it's not just hair. Because like you said, it's like your personality
Yeah.
and your identity and your character, and you have your hair how you want because it's a form of expression.
Yeah.
Hate it when, because I think people say that to make it sound like, because it's like superficial, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a vanity, not vanity, is that right? Is that like,
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, it's not though. It is,
No.
and it's traumatic when you're, if you were to cut your hair and then you didn't like it, you've made the decision to cut your hair and you don't like it. So you're like, oh, so that's different. When you've not had the choice and you're losing hair, I
Yeah.
think really traumatic.
And I literally remember so clearly, and I've spoken about this in my Sepsis Voices on the UK Sepsis Trust website. I remember so clearly, I came out of hospital, when was it? End of October, early November, and it was New Year's Eve, and I was house sitting for my friend, and it's the first time I'd gone to see any of my friends, and I got in the shower and I was brushing my hair out, and it was a really weird feeling when I was brushing my hair. It was almost the only way I can describe it, not that I've ever bleached my hair. You know when you see those awful bleach fail videos online and they brush their
Oh,
hair and it just comes out like string? And I
yeah.
remember looking at the brush and thinking, oh my God, that's a lot of hair, but
Yeah.
not really thinking anything of it. So that was like the first big clump, and then I remember doing my hair, and I turned around and I saw in the mirror there's like a teeny tiny patch in comparison to what it turned to, and I literally FaceTimed my hairdresser straight away, and I was like, "What is happening? I've got a bald patch." And at the time, obviously, she was like, "Oh, it can be stress, it can be health related. You've just been really poorly." Anyway, I then put it on the UK Sepsis Trust support group, and I was like, "Don't know if this is common, but I've had a lot of hair falling out." And then there was I think there's 150 comments on the post that I put on, people being like, "Yeah, this is so common. I've had this. It completely knocked my confidence." And when I tell you that I wore a beanie for 6 months straight, I'm very glad that it happened over Christmas, because I think I have 25 hats and beanies in my cupboard from when I did not take a hat or beanie off for 6 months when it started falling out.
Yeah.
And that sounds so dramatic, but
Did you get a haircut?
yeah, I cut
Yeah.
all my hair off. I've never had it was basically a bob.
I cut all mine off as well.
And I remember going to my hairdresser, I was like, oh my God. And she was like, no offense, I love my hairdresser, Chloe. She's like so straight laced. She'll just say it how it is. She was like, no offense, mate, there's hardly anything there anyway, so we might as well try and make the best of a bad situation. I was like, okay, well, fair enough. So we cut it
Cool.
all off, and I've always been blessed with super thick hair,
Your hair's
and
unreal.
so for the first time I had the thinnest hair, bald patches, short hair, and I was like, what is happening to me? And I remember I completely lost all my confidence, didn't want to, if I got invited out for dinner, didn't want to go, didn't want to get
Yeah, because
ready.
your hair's it is just such a big thing. I hate
yeah
when people make it out like it's not, it is.
and then eventually I think it the falling out shedding process lasted 2 months probably, from beginning to end. And I've got a picture, I'll put this on our Instagram, and it's, don't ask why I did this, I was going through it, but I kept all the hair that fell out my head, I kept, and then once it kind of stopped falling out, I put it out, and like a rug you have in your bedroom, or like a bath mat, it covered the whole bath mat with the hair that had fallen out. And I remember being like, oh my God. And then once it fell out, it then obviously completely stopped. When I was brushing my hair, nothing was coming out at all, which was obviously a godsend. But I remember the first time that, obviously your hair goes through cycles and it sheds in cycles. The
Yeah.
first time after it all came out and it had grown back, that it started coming out again, I was like, oh God, it's happening again. But obviously it doesn't happen like that. And it was just like the
So
natural,
traumatic, isn't
yeah.
it? It's so traumatic.
And I'd like, it sounds so dramatic because obviously, again, we're like, I don't want to be like, oh, I had such a bad time of it, when people, there's people with alopecia, there's people having chemotherapy that lose all their hair. And I am so obviously grateful that it was for a short period of time and it was only patches of, but it was still that was a big, th that was one of the biggest things for me that I found, in recovery, that not my confidence massively.
Yeah, hair fallout's really horrible. And like you said, mine wasn't clumps. It was just coming out a lot when I brushed it. To be honest, I wouldn't have known if I had any clumps because I just didn't even bother looking. Like those first couple of months when I came out of hospital, I don't even really remember them. So I think if I did have clumps missing, I just did not even care to look. I was just like, what I looked like was none of my business at that point. I was just like,
Yeah, just getting through it.
when I was brushing it, it was like a
Coming
lot
out.
was coming out.
It's a
Yeah.
weird feel. It's a weird feeling as
When
well, because
you're
it's not,
washing it, it was so
yeah.
weird. It was just like loads of it was coming
And it
out.
was obviously, it's coming out from the root as well, isn't it? So usually, when you brush your hair, it doesn't feel
Well,
like long. But it was long bits.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
I don't know why. I think it's something to do with like it's your body's reaction, like
To stress
sh
and
yeah, stress and shock, I
like
think.
shock, yeah.
But I don't, again, guys, we're not medically trained professionals with, but yeah. And I think we've been yapping for quite a long time now. Like I said, we would. It's been a little bit all over the place this episode. But I'm hoping that if you're listening to this, and you know, we always say this, you've just come out of hospital, you're just starting going through all of this, going through your recovery, that you find some, you know, kind of clarity and support in this space. And just because our stories are similar doesn't mean that's how it's going to be, because I also don't want people to think that, like, oh my God, I've just started this process and they're still feeling like this 2 years later. We obviously talk about the negative parts on this podcast, but like, we're in, it's not even, it's a different stratosphere to how we were when we first came out of hospital. Like,
Yeah.
we are blessed and we are very lucky that we have made such a big recovery, but it's also okay to be frustrated at the things that are still not quite right.
Yeah. And yeah, things are better, but also like that's like a work in progress
Yeah.
and it's taken us a lot of time to get here.
And that's
But
okay.
our stories are very similar.
It's really weird, isn't it, that like
Yeah.
I can't, I always say this to like my family and
You couldn't
they're,
really write, could you?
no, and it's so weird that we're obviously like so similar in age. It happened 2 months apart.
Yeah.
It
And
is.
like the same symptoms, like, but pretty much like a lot of it's so similar.
I know, it's scary.
But like, yeah, not everyone's is going to be like that.
Yeah, and you know, that depends.
But we
There's
hope
so
you can
many
relate
factors,
anyway. Yeah.
yeah, that can change things about. But yeah, anyway, I'm not going to keep yapping. But we are so grateful for all your support, and we know that our posting schedule is like
Yeah,
here,
we're
there,
so.
and everywhere. But like, we are trying our best to get it out. And let's be honest, this is a passion project. Like,
Yeah, we wish it was our
yeah.
like a
We wish it was
full-time
a full-time job. That'd be so fun.
It's not fun. We can fly to Australia.
Yeah, stop. Imagine. Everyone's like three sets of survivors in Australia. There's loads more than that. No. But yeah, we are sending you guys lots of love. We're also working on getting some guests on the podcast, which is exciting.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
So we'll keep you updated with that. And yeah, we hope you guys are all well and love you lots.
Lots of love.
Adios, goodbye.
Bye.